It's the last day of campaigning before Nigeria heads to the polls. From the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Leanna Byrne. Nigeria is Africa's most populous country and its largest economy. And on Saturday, it'll hold its most closely contested presidential election since transitioning to democracy 24 years ago. But tensions are running high. Unemployment has quadrupled and there's widespread food and fuel shortages despite being an oil-rich state with the biggest natural gas reserves in Africa.
There's nothing we don't have in this country. We have everything, almost, I can say 90% everything in this country. Because of this mismanagement, they don't give money to the right people.
It's also been pretty chaotic there, with the government replacing the old Naira currency notes with new ones. But people are struggling to get a hold of them. The BBC's Alan Kasuja has been talking to two women in Nigeria's largest city, Lagos. One sells food and the other works in a hair salon.
My name is Rejoice Daniel.
Thank you for letting us into your salon. That's your baby.
Yes, sir. His name is Jason.
And what's your name, madam?
My name is Zainab.
If I asked you, how is life? What would you say to me?
Life is a little bit complicated. Things are hard. We are just managing.
I don't have money to pay for daycare, so I have to take care of him myself.
Condition of this in Nigeria now is very tough. This new currency, they said they have changed, is giving a lot of headache. You see everybody turn to beggar. You will see, we'll be begging for 2,000 just to buy something to eat. And you see people roaming about with their money, with the old money in their hand. They cannot buy anything. They are crying. I cannot buy anything. Cannot eat. My shop is empty. And because of that, people are really suffering. They are really dying. They should help us.
You've been watching her say all those things. What's going through your head?
Things are now expensive. The old money. We have the old money, but we can't make use of it. We don't know what to do anymore.
You're a university graduate?
Yes, sir.
What did you study?
Transport and logistics.
And you are running a salon. This is not a very big salon, maybe 4 meters by 4 meters big. Is business good?
We are just managing the business. No customers, no money. For the past 1 week now, just 3 customers for the whole week.
No customer. People don't have money, so nobody is thinking about her. Now, if you're able to get your daily meal, very grateful. That is it. That's why people don't want to do her.
And what about you? When you listen to what she's going through, what goes through your mind?
People don't raise more children because of the hardship of the country. So the way she started managing this salon, I'm very grateful with her.
Thank you, Ma. I'll keep on managing this salon until when my baby is old enough, then I'll look for something else to do.
So you're putting your dreams on hold?
For now, I wish my child will not be like me. I wish it will be better. It will go higher, more than me.
What do you mean by that?
I finished school and I'm not supposed to work here. I'm not supposed to be in the salon. But I have no choice. So I wish and pray that it will be better, that we achieve all his dreams.
Tomorrow marks a year since Russia invaded Ukraine. We've been looking at the huge impact the war has had on global trade. So what effects, if any, have sanctions had on Russia's economy?
Today, I'm authorising additional strong sanctions.
Yesterday, Russian airline Aeroflot was banned from UK skies.
Seized the floating palaces of top Russian billionaires accused by the European Union of being too close to Vladimir Putin.
That was then, and this is now. Countries across the world were quick to hit Russia with sanctions after invading Ukraine. But have these sanctions hurt Russia's economy? Dr. Maria Shagina is a senior research fellow at the International Institute for Strategic Studies in Germany. She told me that there are plenty of countries still trading with Russia.
We need to look at the design of sanctions. For some reason, with sanctions, people assume that we impose measures on the target, then no trade is no longer possible. But that's only the case of a full embargo. Russia is not under comprehensive sanctions yet, again, despite being the most sanctioned country in the world.
If you go by economic indicators, it seems like Russia's economy hasn't suffered. Its GDP has contracted only by 2.1%. Inflation there is manageably low and the ruble has rebounded. Dr. Shigina says that doesn't mean Russia's economy isn't suffering.
So here the role of China, India and Turkey has been quite important because all three countries have almost compensated for Russia the loss of European market. But they have compensated in volume, not in price, because these countries are purchasing Russian cheap commodities at like 40% discounts. Hence, Russia is facing one of the largest budget deficits since 1998.
Like any business, a country shouldn't be losing money for what it produces. The West has imposed a price cap on Russian oil, and Europe is banning the import of it. But there are ways around that. According to Ami Daniel, chief executive of Windward, a maritime data company in Tel Aviv, Russian oil tankers are attempting whatever they can to transfer millions of tons of crude between ships without anyone seeing.
Turn off the radar transmissions, trade under the radar, do a ship-to-ship transfer, change your name. That is happening every day in the Atlantic, in the Mediterranean, in order to launder oil or trade above the price cap.
As Russia continues its offensive in Ukraine, so far, the West's economic retaliations have been gaining some ground, but slowly. As Dr. Maria Shigina puts it, the effectiveness of sanctions is all about enforcement, who is enforcing them and who isn't. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. Thanks for listening.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.